This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, Thursday edition. Mike Somich, Michael Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. As we say hi, it's a big day as, of course, we are focused with our formula Sunday night into Monday with the NFL, the opening lines, and then Thursday they bake. And here we go. We're going to give you our plays, including Thursday night with Minnesota here in Los Angeles, Mike, at the Chargers. Two things. One, we're going to bookend the gambling probe going on in the country right now, which we should discuss. If you want more from me, I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight if you download it for 3 hours. And I assure you there's going to be a billion calls, people losing their mind. And then we'll close with the World Series. I'll start here and I'll let the smart guy take over. With legalization comes regulation, and shock will still reign when we're talking about sports betting. If you, Mike, went with your wife to a restaurant and had four glasses of wine and drove, alcohol is very much accepted. Gambling's going to take a little while, so this is going to shock, and that's where we are. Before I stop, I'll just say this. If I was a gambling book, whether it be DraftKings, FanDuel, or anybody, I'd be popping champagne, because any press is good press, baby.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that front. I'll also say, if I'm a gambler, just an everyday player who, you know, throws in NBA props on a Wednesday and throws the game up on ESPN, wherever you're watching, this is a good thing. And this is the crazy part. Everyone, like, you're seeing all the tweets, oh, you know, you got to get rid of sports gambling. It's that this stuff is happening because you can bet on this and that. No, we're catching people because of the regulation. That's the reason you are catching people in these scams. If you go and you read through the FBI report, the betting was stopped on Rozier props because of activity that was deemed suspect. And then that information gets handed over, which starts the actual investigation. It's because these are legalized books who are trying to protect themselves. Let's be honest. They want to protect themselves more than the players that they have on there. But they're also protecting the players in that sense, because you're not allowed to continue these schemes exponentially because you have regulation. So for me, anytime we get one of these stories that comes out that there is this player is caught, that player is caught, there's a point shaving thing over here, all of that was happening. It was happening for decades. We're just catching people now, right? And I think the alcohol one is a very good comp. This is like if you took gambling away, it would be like prohibition. You're just pushing people to places to still gamble that are just not regulated. Yeah. And it's not taxed. You're just telling them, okay, now you can't do it here. Go do it over here instead. That's what happened during Prohibition. You had these speakeasies spin up. The mob made a ton of money. What do you think would happen if you took gambling away now? The exact same thing. This is a positive for the gambling world, and it shows that the regulators are doing their job. To me, it's baffling every time this happens. And then the immediate discord is, well, you got to get rid of gambling. Gambling is the reason this is happening. No, the reason this is happening is because you have regulation in gambling. Thus, we are catching the people who are actually doing it.
Yeah, me and my buddy Matt McNamara used to drive to the Ford plant because that's where the bookie was. That was very much illegal. Now I can sit in the crib and get on an app, and it's regulated. It is so much ado that it's obviously, like I said, there is going to still be that shock associated, Mike, with sports betting because it's so new. But legalization equals, as you perfectly put, regulation, and the bad actors, if that's what you want to say, there's always going to be a spoil system. It will be nutted out, and that's what we're getting right here. And good job by you with it. Was it Rozier where they started seeing some untoward or suspect behavior, and those were taken off the board? That means it's working.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is how this should operate. You should be protecting your customers from that type of action. You should have ways to say, okay, this Terry Rozier shouldn't be getting $200,000 bet on him the 10 minutes before the game starts in the prop market. Something's going on. Something might be suspect if that's happening. And it did happen. And they took the props down. They reported it. They investigated it. And here we are, catching people with it. Now, the poker game thing, completely different story, right? Awfully fascinating, because there have been rumors in the poker world about some rigged games involving NBA players.
You would know.
I'm not going to talk about it, but let's just say there were poker pros who were like, I'm not going to that game. I know it's not square. I know that something is going on. And now it's interesting, you know, because 2019, there was a podcast about it. It's going around on X. You can find it if you want to. 2019 was the first time this was discussed. That was 6 years ago that the poker world knew that these games were not on the up and up. So it's interesting that it now comes to light here with this whole plethora of scandals that is happening inside the NBA.
I can't confirm nor deny if Mike, with his dog on a road trip from North Carolina to L.A., was stopping by any of these shady poker games.
Regulated, Patrick. I'm all about the regulation.
I will just say this. If you're just joining us here, Sharp Money, thank you for downloading and spread the word. We appreciate you. This is two very much separate conversations. One, Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and the Mafia, La Cosa Nostra. That is a poker thing that has been omnipresent as long as the day is. The other one is the NBA and Silver and Rozier, and that will be handled. I think Mike put it well. That's all I got on it. Again, we'll be talking about it for hours on Mad Dog Sports Radio. It is going to shock people, and then it'll settle down, and people will move on because Hulu just dropped the new series.
Yeah, well, today's a big day as well. I don't know if you watch Nobody Wants This, but season two out today on Netflix as well. Phenomenal comedy if you're looking for something to do. Season one was awesome. Looking forward to season two today.
I'll write that down.
Nobody Wants This. Very good show.
I want it. And you know what else I want? I want the board for week eight. So remember, this is the heaviest bye week. This is a light week as far as games. Arizona, Detroit, Jags, Vegas, Rams, and Seattle are on bye, and then we get back to normalcy. But it is week eight. We're basically halfway into the season, which is depressing. But what isn't depressing is you got a Thursday night game here in Los Angeles. So Minnesota at the Chargers. It's three everywhere. ESPN Bet does have a 3.5 on the Chargers, Mike. So let's think this through. 0.5 to 0.8 on home field these days. The Chargers don't have a home field. So my guess is they're saying on a neutral, the Chargers are about 1.5. That feels about right. I will say this quickly. If it's 3.5, I'll take Minnesota. If not, I'll lay off.
Yeah, I played some Chargers -3, -110. If you can still find that available in the market, I do think it's the right side. I think a Thursday night game is bad for the road team going to Los Angeles. I think if this was on a Sunday, you'd have a lot of Vikings fans in Los Angeles. Because it's on a Thursday, I think that's going to be mitigated a little bit, more of a even/pro Chargers crowd. So I do think the home field advantage helps slightly here. You're also getting Joe Alt back for the Chargers. That should be a big benefit. I've got more invested inside the prop market here, Patrick, because this is one of those spots where you're down to your four-string running back if you're the Chargers. You're going to see Vidal get a ton of action because he's on the injury report as well. But with Alt back, with the rest of that offensive line starting to get healthy, and a blitz-happy Vikings team here, I think you see Herbert throw, and throw some more. I took over his attempts at 35.5, and then I targeted the completions here for Keenan Allen, who has been his hot route receiver all season, someone he's got a good connection with. You can get over 5.5 receptions for Keenan Allen. I like that one quite a bit as well. I think he's going to get peppered with targets against this blitz.
Yeah, I went over 18.5 on Justin Herbert rushing yards as well. I think he has to because of the injuries in the backfield. And you mentioned Alt being back big should keep him in the pocket, but he has been clearing this number. So I have one prop there as well. I'll say this. I do Sharp Money standing up, and my ankle, it feels just fine. And J.J. McCarthy could be standing under center tonight for Minnesota because his ankle is fine as well. And Kevin O'Connell very much knows he doesn't have a quarterback in the second year pro. And that's why we continue to see Carson Wentz. You would agree?
This is fascinating, man. I thought it was a fake injury when it actually happened. 4 weeks later, I'm starting to wonder because Wentz has not been good. Like at some point,
I think it says more about McCarthy what they think about him.
If you want to make a playoff run and you want to like actually contend for a Super Bowl, don't you need McCarthy to like get game experience? Are we just saying Wentz is it for the rest of the year? If that's the case, that is a very, very bad sign for Vikings backers because that is not a vote of confidence for the young fellow in J.J. McCarthy,
no.
Who again. Just looked like it was moving too fast for him. Like he was just late on everything. He was running around taking sacks. It just looked like everything was moving too fast for him.
Do not get lied to by the fourth quarter against the Bears. The rest of it was about as bad as the tape looked. Could look, I should say. We then now enter from Thursday into early Sunday. 261 on the board, Michael. Jets at Cincinnati, a rejuvenated Cincinnati team that all of a sudden has something to play for. They are 6.5, and that is everywhere, and 44.5 on the total.
This is a tough one because we're still waiting on three separate Jets players on the injury report. So Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback, showed up with a knee injury. He was going to start this week. We'll see if it's him or Justin Fields. You've still got Sauce Gardner trying to come back from a concussion. He's in protocol. he's very important in this game. You kind of need him against Ja'Marr Chase. And then you've got Garrett Wilson, who's also trying to come back. We'll see if he's going to make it. Did not practice today, so that's obviously not a good sign. If you told me I got Tyrod and Sauce, I would be taking it with the Jets here. All right, we took the 5.5, 6.5 last week with the Bengals on Thursday night. This is a very different world. You're catching almost a touchdown on Thursday night. Now you are laying almost a touchdown. The Jets are atrocious, don't get me wrong, but I do think Tyrod Taylor has the ability to at least stretch the field against a very bad Cincinnati defense. I have not bet it yet. I'm kind of waiting to see what happens here, but if Taylor is in and I get Sauce Gardner, I am probably playing the Jets here. If we do not have Taylor and Sauce Gardner is in, I love T. Higgins props. We've seen number two wide receivers go off against this Jets team week after week after week because you got Sauce Gardner on one side. Number two ends up eating. You know Sauce Gardner is going to follow Chase around. I think that sets up T. Higgins for a big game. So we'll see if he's back from concussion protocol.
0-7 is hard to do in 2025. It's hard not to just fall into a win. So it's hard. Tyrod Taylor, whether or not there's an injury, he will start if he's fine, if he's okay. There's no way he can go to Fields. I can't bet it. If I were to, if it's Taylor, I'd probably take, like you were mentioning, if it's not, obviously I'd lay the 6.5 if it's Fields, which is, he's got the yips and that's not a good thing. San Francisco 263 is at Houston. We should start with the Houston conversation. What we saw in Seattle probably should have won that game by 20. They kind of dicked around in the second half, but the defense, we'll get to Seattle in a second. We won't because they're on bye. I would say this about Houston. You got to get an offensive coordinator in there that's going to help a kid with no offensive line. So I don't know what to make of Houston, and they're laying 2, 1.5 hosting the 49ers.
Yeah, Nico Collins in concussion protocol. I'd be very surprised if he's going to play. That means we're going to turn to the rookies here from Iowa State as your number one and number two wide receivers. If Kirk's not able to go, he missed last week. He's going to be a game time decision. Keep an eye on him to see if he's in here. I still think this is one of the best two defenses in the NFL in Houston. I thought their defense actually played very well against Seattle, considering the positions they consistently were put in by their offense. They scored a touchdown for them. They had four interceptions at Darnold. They were making his life difficult in the backfield, creating havoc, creating turnovers. I don't love this matchup for San Francisco, Patrick. I think last week was a spot for San Francisco, considering that you were able to lose Warner. You've got the bump from this energy you got from your young linebacker. This defense still generates no pressure. This defense still has no real great secondary. The offense is good, but the offense is now facing elite defense. I lean toward Houston here, laying the 1.5.
Have we adjusted? It's 41.5. We've been talking on Sharp Money about the perpetual unders for Houston. That defense is legit. You mentioned they got a touchdown. They got sacks against Seattle. But Mac keeps scoring. It's starting to look like 41.5 is low. I'm off this game completely. But what do you think on the totals here with Houston moving forward?
I mean, it's under a pass here on the total. If I'm going anywhere, I'm playing the under because I still think this is a under team, especially without Nico Collins, especially if Kirk doesn't play. I bet Houston -2 last week as a look-ahead number. I'm going to have the worst of it. I've already kind of accepted that. I still like Houston. I think they should be 3 here if you had Nico Collins and Kirk in. Obviously, they're going to be out, which puts the number right on for me. I do like Jalen Noel props here as well, Patrick. If you do have Nico Collins out, Noel was the rookie wide receiver who stepped up. His prop should be in the 30s. I think he has a very good opportunity of going over a number that low. But this is a game that I want to see the official injury report going before I really get involved. Again, I have that Houston -2 ticket. I'm not going to bet San Francisco to get off it, but I'm also not going to add to the position.
Raise your hand if you're following Sharp Money Europa League scores soccer right now. That would be your boy. Then we just got a goal, so we're happy.
There we go.
Thank you. 265. Chicago's at Baltimore, and Baltimore's laying 6.5. The respect is real. We'll get to our plays at the end of this. I very much like Chicago catching 6.5. I don't really have much more to say, except that's kind of a drunk number.
It is, because, look, I understand Baltimore is a kitchen sink game. They've got to win. We haven't officially heard that Lamar Jackson's going to play yet. Isn't that a little concerning? Slightly?
A little bit.
Like,
and you saw the video of him getting some grub.
Yeah, don't love what we're seeing there. Look, this number is assuming you are going to get good Baltimore. Is that an assumption we can make?
What are we doing?
And like, even if you make the assumption, it doesn't mean they cover. It means the number's correct. Not that they're going to magically win by 14. It's Bears or pass for me. I already got the Bears in the account at 6.5. This was one of the easier ones to rush to the window in my mind, because I don't think this Baltimore defense is going to be 100% fixed. I think Baltimore probably wins the game, but I don't think this is a two-touchdown win for the Ravens. I do think that the back door is going to be open. I think that you could have a one-possession game late. So this one was pretty easy to get to the window on the Bears plus the 6.5, despite me not loving this Bears team.
How much does coaching matter? So Chicago last year were right around 28th in points scored, and I think they're top six this year, top seven, somewhere in there, somewhere eight-ish, meaning Ben Johnson is going to score points. He's looking to get loose against Baltimore. I don't know why the number is 6.5. We saw a Houston team that may not be very good go in and just have fun against this Baltimore defense. I think they scored 31.
They did have fun against that defense, but they also got a different version of the defense. They're going to have four players back for Baltimore off the bye. How much that matters?
The older, yeah,
you know, that's
their best defender is the nose, who's not going to play the rest of the year. If you wanted to lay the 6.5 of Baltimore because kitchen sink, like Mike said, feel free. I like the 6.5 with.
Well,
Chicago.
And the market agrees too, Patrick. I mean, this was 8 at one point earlier this season. It reopened at 7.5. We're now at 6.5. We've seen sixes start to pop. I mean, this is Chicago money consistently over the last 10 days that have come in on this game.
Is Mike loyal to his Dolphins? 267, the Dolphins are at Atlanta, and Atlanta's laying 7.5. Atlanta should be laying 17. Why? Because Raheem Morris is the coach, and when you have one of your biggest wins as a franchise against, what was it, Buffalo, 1 week, and they'll go to San Francisco and play one of the worst football games you're ever going to see, that means Raheem is going to have the team ready to go, which is what he does. Remember, this is a team that lost 30-0 at Carolina. They're laying 7.5 against a team in Miami that may not want to be in Atlanta.
Honest question for you, Patrick. What's it going to take for Mike McDaniel to get fired? If it wasn't the Cleveland game...
He is being punished. He got to work this Monday, and he put the key card up there, and he was like, "Are you kidding?
Yeah, what? That still works?"
Ross and Greer, there's a weird thing going on with the general manager and owner. Tua obviously is in a weird place, and McDaniel, he wants to go. He's a dead man walking. I don't know. I can't lay 7.5. What did we open on Sunday when we discussed? It was closer to six-ish, 6.5, no?
Yeah, so this one has run out a little bit here with the look ahead in this game was sitting at 6, and then we reopened at 6.5. We've seen it move over to 7.5 now. I think this is a great teaser leg. If you're a teaser player, choo-choo, baby, jump on the train, because this is a very good teaser spot. I agree with you on Atlanta, except I think we go extremes on Atlanta here. I'm not sure this Dolphins defense wants to play anymore. I think they might have just given up on the season. I think Tua is awful. This is a bad matchup for them. You've got a banged-up Dolphins team. You can go into the game lines, and you can have a little bit of fun. You mentioned maybe Atlanta should be a 17.5-point favorite. You can lay 16.5, get plus 225 right now. I mean, I'm looking alt market here if I'm going with Atlanta, because I do think this is an opportunity for them to blow them out. I like the Bijan rushing prop. This is a bad Miami run defense. Bijan should be able to absolutely feast. And this is a different Falcons team at home. You mentioned... You know, the Carolina game, road game. San Francisco game, road game. The Buffalo game, home game. We've seen them play a lot better inside it in Georgia versus when they've been out of it.
Yeah, I was being a tad facetious because I do think Morris is a bad head coach. However, this is the type of game where, like you said, you might want to go alt. 269, Buffalo off their bye is at Carolina. Buffalo's up to 7.5, and 46.5 on the total.
Is that easy, I hear in the background?
Jeez, chill out.
You know what? I think some dogs are barking back there, man, Patrick. I like the dogs here. Give me Carolina plus the 7. This is one of those spots where, like, I don't – again, this is similar to Baltimore. Are we sure Buffalo's just good?
Mm-mm.
Are we sure we're just back, right? The defensive line is healthy again. That's great. Milano's still out. Are we sure that just those defensive line injuries are going to fix everything for Buffalo? I'm not. I don't think that this game should be a touchdown. I think this game should be closer to the 5 mark, somewhere in that range. Go ahead and give me the Panthers here. I think you can correlate this to the over, too, because I do think Buffalo puts up some points on this Panthers defense, which has been better this year than we expected. But if you think that Carolina can cover, I think this is correlated to the over. So I played Carolina, and then I played Carolina in the over as a parlay.
Carolina's a confident team at home, better at home. 7.5 is crazy. I don't know how good Buffalo is. You said everything perfectly. I'll take the 7.5. The Giants are at Philly. Philly's laying 7.5. And I'm not sure I've seen a spot like this in my life. A team that probably is still just trying to figure out what happened in Denver against a team that got right in Minnesota and is so upset in division what happened 2 weeks ago in Jersey. Let's go Philly, just bump it up. They're going to absolutely dismantle the Giants.
I mean, you've heard the interviews in the locker room, how multiple players have come out and said they played their worst game as a pro against the Giants. They can't wait to get their revenge. They're excited to be able to go out there and prove what they can do. I agree with all of those comments. I think you're going to see a wildly motivated Philadelphia team. Also very different playing in New York versus playing in the Link there in Philadelphia. I think this is going to be a ravaging home crowd for the Eagles. I cannot get anywhere near this number from a Giants perspective. I think this is the Eagles or pass. I like the 7.5. I think this is a like absolute banger teaser, Falcons Eagles. Like I don't see how either of those teams end up not covering. I also like the idea of alts, Patrick. I agree with you. I think this is a we talked about the spot for Pittsburgh against Cleveland and how we don't love Pittsburgh, but man, it was a great spot because Cleveland's coming back over. This is another one of those spots where this is just unbelievable. You've got a Giants team that gave up 33 in the fourth quarter and like breaking chairs in the visitors locker room that then has to fly home to New York and then fly to your division rival who you beat 2 weeks ago and try and get off the mat for a team that is absolutely foaming at the mouth. Yeah, lay it with Philly. Philly teasers. I think AJ Brown gets in the end zone. That's plus 175. This is a huge, like wild advantage matchups for Philly on the outside and in the running game.
Yeah, ride the good moods with Philly because they will go away. And right now they're on an upward trajectory. They want to beat a team more. They want to beat the Giants more than any team in the NFL right now after what happened a couple of weeks ago, I believe in primetime as well.
Mm-hmm. Thursday night standalone.
There you have it. You could tease that Philly game with our next one. Michael's Patriots are 7 hosting Cleveland. It's a low total 40.5.
Yeah, this one's fascinating. I think the Patriots are Patriots are pass for me here. I think that the Pats defense has been much better as we've gotten further into the season, specifically their secondary. The question, can they stop Judkins? Because if they stop Judkins, it's going to be a very long day for this Cleveland Browns team. Drake May facing the best defense that he's faced. He's taken a lot of sacks this year. If you look at his sack numbers, he's up there with guys like Cam Ward. That's a concern, but his EPA is off the charts. So he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in EPA, and that's because of how well he's thrown the deep ball. If he can have success with the deep ball and this Patriots defense can slow down Judkins, I think this is a smash spot for the New England Patriots here. Another teaser game. I don't want to lay the full 7 here just because I do respect this Cleveland defense quite a bit, but I would not be taking the 7 with Cleveland.
Yeah, the defense always kind of jumps out at you with Cleveland. I would think about taking with Cleveland, but then I remembered Carolina going there and the Patriots, and I put Carolina and Cleveland kind of in the same basket, and New England, who's only going to keep getting better. You mentioned how good May has been. I would lay off that one. At 7's a little steep for me. 275, Tampa Bay is at New Orleans, Mike, and obviously this number, we opened somewhere around 5.5 on the Sharp Money Sunday program. It's down to 4. With Tampa Bay laying it, and obviously everything has to do with the injuries. Unfortunately for Evans, a broken collarbone, he gone, and a bit of a short week here for Tampa.
Yeah, rough break for, well, literally and figuratively there for Tampa Bay. It's like Evans was trying to go for the single record for most 1,000-yard seasons consecutively. Obviously, that's not going to happen with this injury. And one thing we talked about with Tampa is none of these injuries were long-term for them. Now you've got your first long-term one in a position they really can't afford to lose. Godwin and Irving already out for this game. I think this is a great spot for the Tampa defense. I'm not sure what we get from the offense. Baker, by the way, was not good against your Lions.
No, very
on
bad.
Monday night. Like that was I
against no secondary.
No, and I love the super cuts. You can go to NFL Plus if you're a subscriber there. You can say, I just want every Baker throw. So I watched that supercut of Baker just throwing every football. He was airmailing people. He had people open, just could not hit him. Underthrew Ibuka on 2 touchdowns. I think Baker's going to be better. I think you do need a little bit of time to get used to these wide receivers because this is not who he was practicing with at any point during this season. He didn't have Ted Johnson and Cameron Johnson out there running routes in the preseason. He was throwing to his top-tier guys. This is a smash spot for this defense, though, because this is one of your best run defenses in the NFL. They should be able to limit whoever is running the football for the Saints. And then the question is, okay, how are they going to be able to stop this Tampa team from getting pressure? I think you're going to see a blitz-happy Tampa team consistently in the backfield. As this numbers come down, the team total has gone up for New Orleans. We're now at 21.5 out there. Give me under 21.5 New Orleans team total.
I love the under 47 on the game. This is a Bulls-Bucks game. Bulls is the defensive guys. Like, dude, our offense, we're banged up. Let's go out here. And like you said, specifically to New Orleans and their team total, let's go ahead and bring that down. And I think the Saints, with the injuries on the Bucks offense, should be able to contain them as well. 47 feels very rich. Let's go under. 279, Dallas. Am I a Cowboys fan? I like Dallas. I enjoy watching them play. Schottenheimer seems to have a little something. Lamb is back. Dak is as likable as it gets and playing the best he's played at 31 years old. It's a really fun football team, honestly. Dallas at Denver. Denver is laying 3.5. I think we open closer to 5. So there is a lot of Dallas love coming in here, and I agree with it.
Yeah, this was the look at here was 4.5 on the Broncos. When this game reopened, we were looking at anywhere from 4 to 5.5. So we've had Denver money come in here pretty consistently. This number kind of flattened itself out at this 3.5, and we're painted at it. There's a couple threes that have started to pop. I like the 3.5 here. Give me the 3.5 before it disappears with this Cowboys team. I realize we're facing a top tier defense in Denver, and Pat Surtain's been awesome, but the weeks that CeeDee Lamb missed are now going to become important. Because if, let's say, Surtain's like, hey, I'm just going to shadow CeeDee Lamb, that's great. Guess what? George Pickens can eat. We've seen that he can eat. And you've got a weaker number cornerback, number two, there in Denver. The pressure rate worries me a little bit with this Denver defense. But we saw what this Cowboys offense and Dak was able to do when he knew he was going to get pressured against a very good Packers defense. And they absolutely lit them up there. I think it's a very good spot for Dallas to just be able to score with or outscore a Denver offense that I don't trust at all. Also, Patrick, we need to start running more hurry up in the NFL. I don't understand why. Like, a big part of Bo Nix's success last week was he was in hurry up. It's what he did at Auburn. It's what he did at Oregon. It's what he is most comfortable with. I don't understand why you don't insert 2-3 of these drives during the game at times when the defense is not expecting it to get your quarterback more comfortable. I'd love to see Denver implement that. I don't think they will. I think Dallas is able to score on this defense, and I don't trust the Denver offense. Give me the 3.5 with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree with the hurry-up sentiment. It's a high total of 51. All Dallas totals are going to be extreme this year, but the 3.5, totally agree with you. I think Dallas continues to score even against that defense. 281, Green Bay is at Pittsburgh, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I genuinely don't think Pittsburgh is good at all. And I like Green Bay. Green Bay, the first 2 weeks, we anointed them. They've been good. They haven't been great. I think they start to focus here. I like the 3 with Green Bay.
I've got a question for you, Patrick. I took some flack yesterday on VSiN Primetime. Matt Brown and I release our top 5 power rated teams every week. I had Green Bay at number 2. He left Green Bay out of his top 5. Who is crazier?
Matt.
Right? Like, how can they not
like Matt? But that is, Green Bay is a top 5 team. Yes.
If someone's like, oh, well, you shouldn't have him 2, you should have him 3 or 4. I'm like, okay, I get that. But they are a top 5 team.
And maybe he's measuring it with what I kind of look at those power rankings as. I am looking ahead and I'm thinking neutral. Yeah. And I have Green Bay as a top 5 team. I have Kansas City with a bullet. I really don't have anybody close to Kansas City right now, and that's not a joke. But yeah, Green Bay's a top 5 team.
I have Kansas City as a 2.2 points power rated better than the rest of the NFL.
Easily.
And then I have 5 teams that are very close, within a point of each other, but Green Bay is at the top of that list. We'll see if they stay there after this week. I 100% agree with your sentiment. Pittsburgh is fake good. I think it's funny how people are jocking Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden because he has one or two of these throws that are incredible. Incredible throw to Freiermuth. Not going to take away from that. The other 30 kind of sucked. Like, they were great. Like,
I'm sorry. They're not good.
And that's it. Like,
have fun against Micah Parsons coming off 3 sacks.
This is going to be – I just think this is a statement game for Green Bay. I understand you've got the Aaron Rodgers revenge game here. We'll see what happens against this defense. I think you're going to see a very motivated Packers team going against Aaron Rodgers as well. I was happy to lay the 3. I don't think you're laying 3 for very much longer. Go out and get the three before it becomes 3.5, because this is going to go to 3.5.
I would agree. I love Green Bay in that spot. That will be one of my official plays. And finally, Monday night, 283, Washington. No, Jaden Daniels is headed to Kansas City. Kansas City, what were we at on Sunday?
Sunday, we were... So this was 5.5 on the look-ahead, total 51. This one reopened at 9.5, 10.5 in some places. And now we are all the way out to, what is it, 12.5 last I looked?
Yeah, Penny's 13.
As we've just seen the decimated Commanders, like we're not getting the wide receivers back. We're not getting Daniels in this game. I agree with the move. Like I think this should
totally
be, this is Kansas City or pass at 12.5 to me. First half Kansas City team total over 15.5. I like that one quite a bit. I think this is a Kansas City team that scores early in this game. Been very efficient offensively since the return of Worthy. And now you just add Rashee Rice in. They looked like a truck last week. So I like this Kansas City team quite a bit.
Even with your boy down in Miami, I mean this. I think this could be the best Kansas City team we've seen during this run. By the time it ends. I think Rice and Worthy are... I think Mahomes and Reed are like, are you kidding? We can run Worthy. Now we have space to run basic running backs. And our core... it is... To me, it's a tremendous football team that's only going to get better.
I think it's funny that people don't realize when they moved on from Tyreek Hill, that was a move to essentially reset and be good next year, this year. Right?
Correct.
They made the Super Bowl the 3 years they were resetting. Like they won.
That's a
two
good
of
reset.
The three.
Unplug and plug back in.
And then like we always talk about you have to hit in drafts to keep the momentum going inside these dynasties. That's the biggest thing. They hit with Rice, man. They hit with Worthy. And all of a sudden, the old man basketball moves that Kelsey has work again because he's single covered against slow linebackers.
Squatting.
Instead of being doubled. Like, so now the vibes between Mahomes and Kelsey's matter because they know where they're going and the defenders don't. Like, it is crazy how good this offense could be. And by the way, defense was pretty darn good last week. Now, that was the Raiders, but I'm not really sure this Commanders offense is all that much better than what we saw from the Raiders last week because of the injuries that they currently have. I mean, you're running out your third, fourth, fifth wide receivers. You're running out your third string running back at the start of the season. You're running out your backup quarterback. This is a very gettable defense for Kansas City, and it's a very beatable offense as well for their defense. So I'm going to lay the 12.5 here with the Chiefs.
Yeah, the importance of a Sunday night, Monday morning sharp money, the 9.5 was, that is such a good number at this point.
We didn't know Daniels was going to be out, though. That's
exactly right, and the books were hedging a little bit. All right, that's week 8. Again, we close tonight, Minnesota and the Chargers. We open with that. Let's finish with, if you're listening on a Thursday or downloading on a Friday, sharp money, we've got the World Series in Toronto. And I'm going to say something that I genuinely would not say, lay $2.15 on anything. It feels like stealing money. The Dodgers are going to win the series. I have it closer to 250, 260-ish on the Dodgers for the series. DraftKings has it right now at -215. I'm good with laying it.
I don't disagree with you, Patrick. I was on your show 3 weeks ago. Talking
about
Dodgers.
Yeah, you took the Dodgers.
Dodgers +320. I've got a healthy Dodgers +320 bet. I will not be hedging. I'm just going to let that go ahead and roll it on out, and we'll see what happens here. You can get Dodgers to win game one, Dodgers to win the series at plus money. I like that one quite a bit. You can get a game will not go to extra innings, -120. Like that one quite a bit. I think we're in for a short series here, which also means I think there's some variance in a couple markets. So if you want to have some fun, like series prop markets, player to hit the most home runs in the series. I think that is fascinating because Shohei Ohtani at +260, I get it. He could definitely do it. He's the most.
He got right on Friday. He sees the baseball now.
But let's say we play 5 games in this series. Should anyone be +260? I don't think so.
Not with that balanced lineup.
You give me 7 games, I think you can make an argument. I like Teoscar Hernandez +700. Freddie Freeman, 20-1. Mookie Betts, 20-1. I think they're all worth a flyer if you want to get involved in that market. MVP, a little less interested just because Ohtani's going to pitch a game. But I still think he's short at +160 in the MVP market. I mean, last year it was Freddie Freeman who won this award. You can get him at 14-1. You can get Betts at 15-1. I think there are more interesting players to bet than Ohtani in both those markets. But I do like Dodgers minus a game and a half. Do like Dodgers to win game one, win the series. And I think that you can have some fun with Dodgers players in these other markets.
What makes it fun, I guess, if you want to make a case for Toronto, is they don't strike out. So bat on ball gives you a chance. However, you're talking about Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, and Shohei. The starters for the Dodgers are 7-1 to a 1.4 ERA in this postseason. It's an all-time great rotation, and Sasaki is a closer now. It's hard to make a case for Toronto.
You know who else didn't strike out a lot, had a good average, and hit the baseball all year? The Brewers.
Yeah, they were overwhelmed. Completely.
Ask them how this went.
we gave the Philadelphia Phillies a ton of credit for making it a challenging series, and it ended in four.
Yeah.
They won a game.
It's a truck, and we knew this at the start of the year. If the Dodgers could get to this position and have a healthy rotation, they were going to be nearly unbeatable. I think this is a paramount task. Now, if you are interested in the Blue Jays, shop around, because you said your fare is closer to 250. You were in an interesting spot in this market, this series market, because liability on the Dodgers to win the World Series is massive at some places. You've had people who bet them at 9-1 at the start of the playoffs. You had people who have tickets in long term. The multi-sport parlay championship parlays have become more and more interesting. A lot of people are now placing them. The Dodgers was one of those teams placed. I was talking to Derek Stevens, who's owner over there at Circa. They've got liability on the Dodgers. They actually set their line on the series with a little bit of that in mind. You can get as high as minus 260 on the Dodgers, which means you're coming back at plus 225 on the Blue Jays. So if you do like the Blue Jays, shop around, find one of these shops with liability, and take them there.
Okay, let's close with we've got three picks for you before we get out of here. Remember, over at VSiN, coming up on Monday is the Sports Equinox, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL, all going to be playing at the same time. VSiN.com has a great special if you want to sign up and become a pro with the Opt AI and everything we're offering right now. I got Chicago catching the 6.5 at Baltimore. I've got Green Bay laying the 3 at Pittsburgh, and I got Philly. There's only one book, so I'll be fair. Philly laying 7. That's showing a 7.
I don't think the 7 or 7.5 is going to matter in that game.
I would tend to agree.
I think you're going to be fine. Three plays for me. Dallas +3.5. Green Bay -3. And the Bears +6.5. A little bonus action. Saints team total under 21.5 this week as well.
Yeah, and I really like that under 47.5 with the Bucks at the Saints. Last word, Mike, anything? I mean, I guess the gambling stuff we'll see on Sunday when we get here on Sharp Money. There'll be more information and we can kind of continue to comment on the madness.
I want to know how much money was actually involved. I hope we at some point get to find out the amount of bet sizing, because Terry Rozier is making like $30 million a year playing NBA basketball. How do you put yourself in this position when the reported win was like $200K on his props? Like there has to be more to this story. I would love to find out the full story at some point.
VSiN at the Track is a horse racing. It's the best horse racing podcast. You can find that VSiN Live wherever you get your podcast with Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman. That's a new episode every Thursday. They're going to be doing a couple episodes a week with the Breeders' Cup coming up. So horse racing enthusiasts, Ready, Set, Bet Saturdays and Sunday with contest show on Saturday. And you can find me on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio. That's it. You got anything?
I do. I got to say, shout out to First Bet and VSiN. They're running a promo for the Breeders' Cup. If you use promo code VSiNBC to sign up over at firstbet.com, you can deposit $250, get a $250 bonus. Love that.
Love it.
If you bet $200 on the Breeders' Cup, you get entered in a drawing for a all-expenses-paid trip to Circa in Las Vegas.
Damn.
$200. And oh, by the way, if you bet $100, you get a free year of VSiN Pro as well. So if you're going to bet $200 on the Breeders' Cup, sign up for a First Bet account. VSiNBC, VSINBC is the promo code. Bet your $200 and you are entered to win a all expenses paid trip to Circa there in Las Vegas. Heck of a deal. Like honestly, I wish I didn't have an account.
If I'm eligible, sign me. I love First Bet, but find me at Stadium Swim with the big booties. You understand?
Let's go.
Coolo. All right, that's it. Good luck this week. We will see Sunday night into Monday morning here on Sharp Money.